We are studying election. Election. Election is a much misunderstood doctrine, isn't it? Otherwise, why would we have Arminians, hyper-Arminians, hyper-Calvinists? What is a hyper-Calvinist position? Can you tell me that position now? Sharon?
That before the fall of God...
Okay, is called what?
Super-lapsarianism. God ordained or commanded, decided that some will be created reprobate and there's nothing they can do about it, and some are created elect, and then that's what it is.
That's it, by the sovereign act of God. The super-lapsarian. Brother Ray, are you a super-lapsarian?
No.
Marilyn, are you a super-lapsarian?
I decided I'm not.
Thank you very much. How about it, brother?
No, I'm not a super-lapsarian.
Not a super-lapsarian. Let's study that one more time. And let's read a scripture to go with this after we do this. Super-lapsarian, this is what we call hyper-Calvinism. By the way, many people, this is what we also call something else. What is the other term for hyper-Calvinists and super-lapsarians? We call these what? Five-point Calvinists. Five-point Calvinists. Marilyn, have I ever had any five-point Calvinists in my classes?
Yeah.
Have I had problems with them?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Five-point Calvinists, and that's the tulip. Total hereditary depravity. This, now let me read this to you again, super-lapsarian. To elect some and reprobate the others. That's the first edict. That is the first decree. Before he created anything, that the heavens and the earth, anything, that he decreed to elect some and damn the others. Now, there is a problem with that in the person of God, is there not? Is there a problem with it? If we worship a God that really decreed this, would we worship a different God than what we really worship? Yes or no? Different God, isn't it?
No.
It's a different God. A different person of the Godhead. And as we study election, we're going to understand the person of God. Better. The person of God better. Now, to elect some and reprobate the others, and then number two decree is to create man. He's going to elect some and reprobate or damn the others. Number three is to permit the fall. And in all reality, to necessitate the fall. Remember? To necessitate the fall. Is the fall necessary to do all of this?
Yeah.
Necessary.
Yeah.
Necessary, okay? Number four, to procure salvation for the elect through the atonement. Now that simply means that God's Son would come and die. We believe that, don't we? That God's Son would come and die. Number five, and here is the real clincher. Let's go back and look at this again. Total hereditary depravity. Are we depraved, Brother Ray?
Mm-hmm.
We're sinners, aren't we? We're sinners before and after we're saved.
Right.
We don't live in sinless perfection as some people. What this is called, the holiness churches. Say that with me, the holiness churches. You know why they're called holiness churches? Because after they're saved, they don't ever sin again. Okay? Where did that begin? Where did it come from in church history, Brother Ray? Mm-hmm. It came from a Methodist study.
Mm-hmm.
Methodist. John and Charles Wesley. From that group came the holiness movement. Okay? We have the Pentecostal holiness churches. That's where I was saved. I was saved by accident there, but I thank God for those people in my life, that pastor. Because without him, I would not... I don't know whether I'd been alive today or not, to tell you the truth, because of what I went through. I had a place to go after my grandmother got killed. And I depended heavily upon that family. Total hereditary depravity. Are you so totally depraved that you're dead? You're born dead? We are dead in our trespasses and sins, aren't we? But did God give you enough to respond to Him? Did He give all people enough to respond? Okay. Unconditional election. You got that one? Is there anything in us that makes God want to elect us? What's so good about you, Brother Ray, that you're here in one of God's churches today? Nothing. Me neither. Nothing. I was talking the other day in one of the classes, talking about how that we talked about sin and the sin nature, and we always think about women being more sinless than, or less sinners than men. And I said, my family, those women, drunkenness and everything, were just as rough as the men were, more, many times. Women are more vicious than men, aren't they, Brother Ray?
I've met a few of them.
Yep. Vicious. Unforgiving. Vicious. Hard. I was raised in that, but God gave me a call. I was almost a drunk before I was 18, 16 years old. But God, I saw what I didn't want to be. I didn't want to be like them. I didn't want to live in a tar paper shack on a dirt floor anymore. I didn't want to live like that. I wanted something different for my life. Now, so many of them did that. I talked about my uncle, Bill, how bad he was, and that my heart trouble I have today is probably from him, hitting me with an axe across my back. He ran off with Clark Gable, William Gable's wife. Clark Gable's stepmother. And she lived in poverty and tar paper shacks for the rest of her life to be with that man. Ugh. And he was the most vicious scoundrel. The woman never saw him saved. She died first. She only saw what he was, kleptomaniac, mean, vicious person. But God saved him, didn't He? Mm-hmm. And I was mad for years until I looked at those Bibles and saw that my great-grandfather had prayed for his terrible son. That's what we call answered prayers. I believe in prayers. That's all I can say. I believe in prayers. Limited atonement. Did Jesus Christ die only for the elect?
No.
Did He die efficaciously only for the elect? Yes. Hear this again. Did Jesus Christ die only for the elect? No. Did He die efficaciously only for the elect? Yes. Yes. Are you a Unitarian Universalist? No. Unitarian Universalists believe that, don't they? Everybody out there say that God would not send anybody to hell because Jesus Christ died for all men. Okay, He died for all men. Did He die for all men?
Yes.
Yeah. Is it efficacious to all men?
No.
Simple. That's different, isn't it? So now we got that little heresy straightened out, don't we? Just a little bit. Maybe we're going to do it better. Irresistible grace. Is the grace of God resistible?
Mm-hmm.
Some teach that it is absolutely irresistible. Let's go on. To regenerate the elect by an irresistible work of the Holy Spirit. Irresistible grace. Now, once you've been saved, is the Spirit of God always with you?
Yes.
Was it with David? Even when he was with Bathsheba?
Yep.
He tried to cover it up and finally became very evident. And he took the child that, you know, was his child, and God took the child. That's it. Remember the little child you talked about earlier, Vincent?
No.
The little child that was smothered to death? Because I am a modified sublapsarian, I believe that child is with Jesus today.
Amen.
If you're a superlapsarian, you won't know.
Amen.
I believe. Your message today from John, the third chapter, was, "These things I write unto you, little children, that you may know that you have eternal life." Do the Armenians know they have eternal life? No. Theology. Okay. Do you know you have eternal life?
Yes.
Even though you may sin, do you know that you have eternal life? We are almost afraid to sin. In all reality, aren't we? Aren't we? Because we're God's child. And Marilyn, you got a lot of undue beatings in your life and mistreatment. I know. But God will never mistreat you ever. If you get a whooping, you're going to get it because you deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
Not because somebody wanted to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
It will never happen with God. God is what? Just and righteous. You'll never get a whooping when you didn't deserve it. Period. You'll only get it when you deserve it. I got whoopings when I didn't deserve it. One time out there at Fairfax School, when I moved in from Nevada, went back and forth. But I wasn't going to school out there for a while. I think I was in the 7th or 8th grade. I went out there and I told you about, I think, maybe Mr. Rittenhouse liked to whip boys and paddle them. So he conjured up this deal that he got to whip 3 of us. I didn't do anything. I told the principal, I didn't do this. I didn't do this. Didn't do him any good. He whipped me anyway. But I sure didn't let on to it. I had wild horses stomp and beat me up and bite me and chew me and kick me. Well, that little old paddle that he whooped me with, which wasn't very little, whapping me about 5 or 6 times. It hurt, but I wasn't about to let him know it hurt.
Mm-hmm.
To regenerate the elect by irresistible work of the Holy Spirit. And then preservation of the saints, true preservation of the saints. We have a lot of people out there believing that once they're saved, they're always saved. And that is a true doctrine, isn't it? Once you're really saved and really repented and called upon God to save your soul, and He has regenerated you, you can sin, but not without retaliation. You can't go the way you want to go without expecting the hammer. As simple as that. You can't go that way. You can't do it. You may want to, but you can't.
As I say, you always say, you can sin securely, but you can't.
A man may sin securely, but safely never.
Never.
A saved man may sin securely, but safely never. I preached quite a few sermons on that. Moderate infralapsarian, moderate Calvinist. Infralapsarians are called moderate Calvinists. To create man, to permit the fall of man. And I'm telling you now, remember, to elect some to reprobate the others, to create man. And then, number 3, as a superlapsarian, to necessitate the fall. This fall was necessary. Okay? Most hyper-Calvinists, some of them really like to be hyper. Hyper-child, hyper-Calvinist, all you've seen this. Some of them really like to be hyper and say that Adam did not have a choice in the garden. But what does the Bible say? It should be very clear. It should be very clear. Adam chose to sin. Eve was deceived, wasn't she? She was deceived. She was deceived. We nahashishi ani. That's what it says in Hebrew. He gave to me. The devil gave to me. He gave to me. He gave to me. He didn't give her anything. It wasn't his to give, was it? Was it Satan's to give?
Yeah.
No. Was it Adam's to partake of?
Yeah.
So what did they do? They stole something from God, didn't they? They robbed God. They robbed God. Sinful last errand to permit the fall, to elect some to eternal life, to procure salvation for the elect through the atonement, for the elect through the atonement. We have a little problem with that. Jesus Christ died for all men, but efficacious only to the elect. Are you getting this?
Yes.
You're getting it. I want you to get this. This is really important.
You got that word written down in so many different places.
Yeah. To regenerate the elect by irresistible work of the Holy Spirit. Irresistible grace. So we don't, do we believe in infralapsarianism? This is modern Calvinism. Are we an infralapsarian? No. Okay, how about sublapsarianism? Now let's look at sublapsarianism. And this is called an even lighter, more moderate Calvinist point of view. I am a Calvinist. Are you a Calvinist? Even though I didn't need John Calvin in my life or anything like that. The world designates me as a Calvinist, and I am a Calvinist. By admission? Because that's what the world classifies me. Your two groups, what are they?
Armenian
or Calvinism? Are you Armenian?
No.
Anybody here Armenian in belief? No. You don't believe in partial security of the believer. You don't need and partial regeneration by yourself and partial regeneration by God. No, we don't believe that, do we? And we're not Unitarian Universalists because Jesus Christ died for all man's sins, and so therefore no one will go to hell because of the death of Christ. We don't believe that, do we? Are we narrowing it down just a little bit? Sublapsarianism. To create man. To permit the fall of man. Do we agree with both of those?
Yes.
All right. To provide ransom price for all. Do we believe that?
Yes.
Okay. To elect some to eternal life through what? Faith. Where does the faith come from? Us. Now, when you go witness to somebody, we should pray that God will open their heart. Without God opening their heart, I don't care how great of a message they may hear or how great of a testimony you may give to them, it is nothing without the work of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We don't work outside of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many churches make mistakes today by emotionalism, a psychiatric session. How do I make them feel this? Whatever. I have seen that so many times in every... I have seen it in Baptist churches. I have seen it in Pentecostal churches. I've seen it in all kinds of churches. I've seen it all over television. I remember Brother Madden one time. He went and preached at a church in Arkansas, I think. And he preached in this church, and he preached in view of a call. I always told churches, if you want to hear what I preach like, just go to discovertheword.com. I don't need to come and preach to you. You got it. There's 5,000 messages out there. Just have at it. You will see what I can preach like. Anyway, they used to do this. Brother Madden went and preached, and he preached less like he always did. You remember him preaching, Brother Ray?
Brother Madden?
Yeah. He preached hard, didn't he? Remember that time when he got up there and he says, if you're in this church house here today and you're lost, it's better for you to leave now. You'll be judged heavier when you leave here and be in a harder place in hell, so give you time to leave. You remember that? That's the way he preached. He was rough.
I taught that in a Bible study years ago. Said that very thing.
Yeah.
There was a fellow who wanted to come in and sit. I said, okay, what you're going to hear, you're going to be more responsible if you want to hang around.
Yeah.
And the other classmates that were there, they didn't kind of agree with that.
Yeah.
I explained it to them.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Brother Madden went and preached in this church. And he preached his normal self there. And, you know, he ruffled people's feathers, didn't he? He did. So this other preacher went over and he preached. Brother Madden preached the gospel. Preached it in a hard way. But he preached the gospel. And this other preacher went over there and he's bragging about Brother Madden. I went down there and I told them about, I took him out to the graveyard. Just take your mind out to the graveyard. And if you're here today and you're not saved, when those people come out of the grave, you won't be with them. And how many of you have your children out there and they're saved, you know, and all this stuff? Out to uncle and aunts and grandmothers and grandfathers and all this. And how many funerals did you go to last week? Would you like to see them again? And he had everybody bawling in the whole church house. Emotionalism. And he filled the aisle. And they called him as pastor. And he told Brother Madden, he said, you went down there and preached to that group of people? He said, I went down there and preached to them. The aisles were filled. He said, what did you preach to them? A bunch of hell? Them filled, those puppy stories and things. Is that what you preached to them? I had them down there at the graveyard knowledge. He said, well, you ought to rot in hell. You could have preached the gospel. You'll answer for that, boy.
Yeah.
How many people get that kind of stuff? Is it in churches all over? Yes.
Yeah.
I've heard it all. I've seen the preachers, I've been in revivals where preachers dance down the aisle. They jump from the top of one pew to the other, dancing. This nothing but a display. Nothing but entertainment centers.
Yeah.
Churches are entertainment centers.
It's a form of hype for you.
Get them all involved. What happens at a football game when 10,000 people cheer or boo? Is it God's spirit there? Do they get excited? Yeah. What happens in funerals? What happens at rock concerts? Swing and gone and all this stuff. It's dangerous, people. It's dangerous to play with people's souls. Dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we know we can do this. We can do it. When I was going to seminary, they taught me psychology. I went through quite a few psychology classes. How to win friends and influence people. You hear about that? Yeah. Let's go back and look at something real quick before we go any further in this. Romans, the 8th chapter, number 27. And the one searching the hearts, he knows what the mind and the spirit, because according to God, he supplicates on our behalf to the saints. And he that searches the hearts knows all that's in the mind and the spirit. Because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. According to the spiritual activating force of God. Verse number 28. For we know that to the ones having loved God. That word having love there, that's a gift. That's agapeo, Vincent. Agapeo. That's the highest form of love that there is. The highest form of sacrificial love that there is. The ones habitually loving God, he makes all things work together. God causes all things to work together for unto the good, unto the agathos. The tov in Hebrew, agathos in Greek. Agathos, that means spiritual good, for our spiritual good. So the ones that are the called, the ones that are the elect, the ones that are the called and the elect being. Because, all right, for we know that whom he foreknew, he also predestinated. Look at that. That who he knew beforehand, that's when? eternity past. Those he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of the Son of Him. Why are we called Christians? What does the word Christian mean? Little Christ. That's what it means. One who imitates Christ. Unto to be a him the firstborn among many brothers.
That predestined, it gets misconstrued as meaning that he himself
elected that.
Right.
He whom he foreknew, he elected, didn't he?
Right, which he knew beforehand that we were going to make that choice.
Yes, that's right.
But with the way it's written here, it can be misconstrued as something else.
That has been misconstrued. Why we have all these forms of Calvinism.
Right.
And Arminianism, that's why it has definitely been misconstrued so many times. We see that. And when I teach Greek, we always come to that subjunctive mode, don't we, Sharon?
Yes.
And that's the volition. And when we come to the Hebrew, it's a jussive mode. The jussive mode. That's what it is. We see that so many times. It's something that God puts in us. And we'll look at that again. He's able to cause all things to work for the good of them that are that he foreknew and are the elect. The elect. Now, does Satan have any part to do with what's going on in the world today?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Who is in control of all the problems in the world today? Satan. He is the God of this age, it says. The God, little God of this age, not the God. Is God able to cause all things to work for the good of them that are the called, in spite of Satan's?
Mm-hmm.
Has Satan ever tried to kill you? Has Satan ever used anybody to hurt you? Have you had a lot of misfortune as children of God? Have you? Have you had a lot of fortune as children of God? He's able to cause all things to work for the good of them that are the called. And who? Those who him foreknew. Those whom he foreknew. Now let's go on a little further. To convict the world of sin, this is sublapsarian, to regenerate the elect by an irresistible work of the Holy Spirit, we don't quite agree with that, don't we? Do we? Do we believe in irresistible grace?
No.
No. But has any saved man ever resisted the grace of God successfully?
No.
See, this is it. We have these little things. But you have to understand, how do you decide what plays where and what fits where? The person of God. Who is God? Who is our God? Did he choose to elect the reprobate as reprobates? Did he do this? Well, superlapsarian said he did. Did he choose to reprobate the unborn babies and those that die before they come to the age of accountability? Did he choose to do that? Before they ever had a choice? Before they knew right or wrong? Malachi, the first chapter, tells you the last book in the Old Testament. Let's go there for just a moment again. Malachi. That's just before Matthew, you know. Just find Matthew and go backwards. Malachi, the first chapter. Let's look and see what it says. The oracle of the word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. All right, Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord, but you say, how have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord, yet I loved Jacob. But I hated Esau, and I have made his mounts of desolation and appointed his inheritance for the jackals of the wilderness. Why did he do that? Because he knew what Esau would do. He knew Esau was a materialist. He lived for the thrill of the moment. That's Esau. Jacob was a man of God. Always. I can't, you know, people talk about him being mama's boy and everything. I have a lot of dissension from that. That boy was a tough man. He was the breadwinner of his family. He was. That's the man he was. He was not the sissy. He was a strong man. He wasn't afraid of Esau because Esau was stronger than him. Esau was deceitful.
Mm-hmm.
Esau was a murderer at heart. Why in the ninth chapter did Noah write that Canaan was cursed? And his descendants were to be cursed, Canaan. These were the lands of the that would become the land of Canaan. This is what become the land of Canaan. Why did he do that? For whom he foreknew, he called. For whom he foreknew, he knew what they would be like. This is thousands of years before it became. But God knew. The God that we serve, is he a God that's omniscient?
Yes.
Let's go on now. To create man, number one. To permit the fall of man. To provide ransom price for all. To elect those foreknown to believe. Is anything wrong with that?
Mm-hmm.
To convict the world of sin, does he? That means everybody. To regenerate those who believe. Is there anything wrong with that? I agree with all that. Do you agree with that, Vincent? That's what you call a modified sublapsarian. That's it. Now, we can go on all the way. Did God, Jesus Christ's blood cover all man's sins, whether they believe or not? Did it? No. It wasn't efficacious to all man's sins, whether they believe or not. That is what point of view? The Unitarian Universalist. Okay. Now, did Jesus Christ's blood only cover the original sin in your life when you believed? And from there on, you make a covenant with God that you've made a covenant with God now that you have to hold out faithful to the end. How many people are plagued with this? They've heard this preached and they're plagued and plagued. This is what we call insecurity of the believer. These things I write unto you, little children, that you may know that you have eternal life. And because we know we have eternal life, we do what we do. We do what we do. We serve God because we know we have eternal life. We are thankful to Him. We're thankful for the grace of God shed on us. Now, Brother Ray, do you have your book here with you today? You're teasing the book?
No.
You don't have that one? We're going to go to that one a little bit. I'm going to read to you what Augustus Strong writes here. This is where Thiessen quotes Strong. The progress in Calvin's thought may be seen by comparing some of his earlier writings with his later utterances. Institutes 2:23 and 5, I say with Augustine that the Lord created those who, as he certainly foreknew, were to go to destruction. And he did so because those who, as he certainly foreknew, were to go to destruction. This is a different view than what he had, isn't it? And he did so because he so willed. But even then, in the Institutes of 3:23, all right, and 8, he affirms that the perdition of the wicked depends upon the divine predestination in such manner that the cause of the wicked depends upon the divine predestination in such a manner that though that the cause and matter of it are found in themselves. The bad are bad because God created them bad. Okay? Now, I could bring a whole lot of volumes of Calvin's Institutes here. And I could read to you, and he's always this way. But later in his life, his theology evolved and was moderated. Man falls by appointment of divine providence. What does that say? God necessitated the fall. God necessitated the fall. In other words, the fall. He made it happen. Okay? He made it happen. Did God make the fall happen?
No.
He provided that it could happen, but did he make it happen? Did he make Adam sin? Did he make him sin? But he falls by his own fault. God's blinding, hardening, and turning the sinner, he describes as a consequence of divine desertation, not divine causation. God decreed it. He didn't allow it. You understand that? It's decreed, not allowed. God didn't allow you to make your choices. He made them for you. What we believe is that God allowed you to make the choice. That's the most dangerous gift that you ever had, was the freedom of choice.
Where are you reading that at?
This is Strong's.
Okay.
The relation of God to the origin of sin is not efficient, but permissive. In the latter days of Calvin wrote, in his commentary on 1 John 2 and 2, he is a propitiation for our sins, but not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. As follows, Christ suffered for the sins of the whole world, and the goodness of God is offered unto all men without distinction. The elect and the reprobate, okay? Without distinction. His blood being shed not for part of the world. Did Jesus Christ shed his blood for the whole world?
Yes.
Is it efficacious to the whole world?
No.
It's not efficacious to the whole world. He won't make people. They're not going to get better after the resurrection. Not going to be born into heaven, go through 1,000 years of training, and then be okay. For although in the world nothing is found worthy of the favor of God, yet he holds out the propitiation to the whole world, since without exception, he summons all to faith of Christ, which is nothing else but a door unto hope for the whole of the human race. We do believe that, don't we? That's what Calvin believed in later years. But that's not what his Institutes of Calvin, that's what many of his students don't believe that. Although other passages, such as the Institutes 321 and 5, and 323 and 1 assert the harsher view, we must give Calvin credit for modifying his doctrine with the mature reflection in advancing years of his theological career. Much that is called Calvinism would have been repudiated by Calvin himself, even at the beginning of his career, and is really the exaggeration of his teaching by more scholastic and less religious successors. Benan calls Calvin the most Christian man of his generation. But Calvin was intolerant, wasn't he? He killed Anabaptists. He believed in what the Catholic Church as the church and the state, the marriage of the church and state, that state and church were one. Baptists have always taught what? Separation of church and state. Dorner describes him as equally great in intellect and character, lovely in social life, full of tender sympathy and faithfulness to his friends, yielding and forgiving toward personal offenses. The vice upon his seal is a flaming heart from which is stretched forth a helping hand. Calvin shared in the burning of Severitas. This is a Baptist. Must be explained by his mistaken seal for God's truth, and by the universal belief in his time that the truth was to be defended by civil power, in other words, the death penalty. If you didn't believe, that's where we have, when you become a member of the church and the state, you are going to tithe. Tithing was mandatory. Tithing is mandatory in all these church states. Okay? If you are in a Catholic state, you are going to tithe. Simple as that. Period. Now let's go on. The definition of election. We won't go too much further today. The definition of election. By election we mean the sovereign act of God in grace whereby He chose in Christ Jesus for salvation all those whom He foreknew would accept Him. Do we disagree with this? We don't disagree with that. That's what we believe in.
Read that again.
By election we mean the sovereign act of God in grace by whereby He chose in Christ Jesus for salvation all those whom He foreknew would accept Him.
Amen?
Amen. Amen. This is election in its redemptive aspect. The Scriptures also speak of an election toward outward privileges. Name some of those. Election toward outward privileges. There are two groups in the Bible that are very elect. And they have privileges. Very high privileges. The first one was Israel. Jacob. We call Israel because that was God changed Jacob's name. We could call it the Abrahamic covenant over here. The Abrahamic covenant. That age right there. We have Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant. And then through his seed was Isaac and then Jacob. And Jacob became Israel. And because God chose beforehand how He knew that Jacob would react. If anybody... A lot of people say you're like the Apostle Paul or you're like Peter or somebody else. I'm like Jacob, if anything, and I'm not even worthy to be called a Jacob in the Bible. Jacob always did what was right. He tried to do what was right. Did Jacob have all kinds of problems? How many wives did he want, Brother Ray?
One.
One. How many did he get?
Four.
He loved one. But he got four, and it made the one that he loved a problem too. He had four problems. He got these children out of him. But those children made him sick. They were, some of them like Esau. Mm-hmm. Remember when they went in and absolutely evangelized the whole town of Shechem? Mm-hmm. Remember that? What did they do? Did all of Shechem believe? They wanted to have Dinah marry the boy. And so all of them agreed to become Jews, spiritual Jews. They all got circumcised. And then Levi and Simeon went in and murdered and stole and raped and the whole town. And then that's what called the Canaanite Wars. If you want to read about the Canaanite Wars, go read the book of Jasher. That's a history book. The Canaanite Wars. Over 100,000 people died for what those boys did. Like Jacob. Not like Jacob, but like Esau. Mean. In Esau's dying breath, he cursed them. And these Levites are the Levites. Are they not the spiritual leaders? But did they have any inheritance at all? None. Zero. Because of what Levi had done at Shechem. You see all this? So we have groups in the Bible that are elect, aren't we? I always used to say there's two groups that are elect in the Bible. And I would say Israel and what? And the church. Israel and the church. Elect. Elect. The church is elect. Now when I say the church, Brother Ray, what am I talking about? All the called out assembly. Am I talking about all the family of God?
No.
No. I'm talking about the church. You have a chance to serve God in such a way in one of His New Testament churches that is super elite, super privileged, outward privileges within the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
This is pretty cool.
Yeah.
The Scriptures talk about the elect. Abraham was elect, wasn't he? Isaac was elect, even though he was an ungodly buzzard. That Isaac, his God was his belly. He was going to bless the wrong son in spite of God. He wanted to bless Esau, And God said, I hated Esau. But Isaac loved Esau. Abraham loved Ishmael. And God blessed Ishmael in spite of Abraham's ungodly desire to have him be his heir. Yes. Because Isaac became the heir. And look what Isaac was. A disappointment. But God used him, didn't he? I look at myself and I say, there's Isaac. There's Abraham in his worst time. And I can't say that about poor old Jacob, because Jacob just worked with whatever was thrown in front of him. I mean it. He did. His mother told him, you go in there and dressed him all up, fixed the lamb and everything for him to take in there, the goat, that is, and fed him, and you tell him you're your brother. Why did she do that? Because she had to. God had blinded Isaac for this moment to bring about his eternal purpose, the election of Israel. Was Moses elected? This is an outward fledged, wasn't it? Moses elected. Egypt, the Pharaoh, wanted to kill all the sons of Israel. He wanted to kill them all. And then God, in his election of Moses, they put him out in the river, just like they did all the other ones, exposed their children in the river. And guess what's in the river, Vincent? Big fish and crocodiles. Yeah. Eating them up. That's food. Every time they put a lot of children out there, Carol, in these little baskets that were sealed and everything, and they'd pray as they were going. Killed, except for Moshe. Moses just happened to float down there, and his sister watched him float. And how many names did Moses have? We have about 10 of them. We'll talk about that one of these days, too. He had a lot of different names. Everybody named something different. But Pharaoh's daughter called him Moshe. That means I rescued him. God had her rescue him, and Pharaoh paid for his raising. Pharaoh paid his mother to nurse him. Moses knew his mom and daddy was. Don't believe the other one there, you know, these will be the meal and all that stuff. That's not what happened. God watched over. This is the elect. He was elected. Moses was elected. Aaron was elected. Paul was elected. Peter was elected. Paul and Peter got to be double elected, didn't they? Did they or not? They were apostles in the church, which is an election. The church is elected. The family of God is elected. And Jesus Christ died for all man's sins that would believe. And in a double way, we have the twice-blooded wife of the Lamb, the elect again. Mm-hmm. Judas was elected, wasn't he? Yep. Why did God elect Judas? Because he knew what he'd do. Yep. Why did God allow Esau to do what he did? God tempered him, didn't he? How about David? Was David the elect? Elected privilege. How about Solomon? Jeroboam and Rehoboam. Were they elected? Yes. To do what they did. The apostles were elected. Out of the church. The first gift placed in the church was apostles, wasn't it? I want to give you an invitation this morning. I hope that you've learned something with what we've done. We're moving on, aren't we? We're going with known and going into the unknown. Did you go a little bit into the unknown today? Did you? Now is it the known? Did the unknown become the known?
Yes, sir.
A little by little.
That tulip doctrine kind of gets a little bit clearer.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I hope it gets clearer. I've really had a burden on my heart to teach this. today's not been a good time for me because of this low blood sugar business. But I pray God will use it. Vincent, what song do you have?
We have 544.
We'll give you an invitation. If you want to join one of the Lord's churches, I give you that invitation. If you're out there and you're lost in the world, are you part of the elect or are you part of the damned? You will make that choice. This is the most dangerous thing God ever gave to you, was this gift. Let Him have His way with you. Always do today what God wants you to do. You know He wants you to do, and let Him take care of you wherever you are tomorrow. Follow Him. Go ahead, Vincent. That gift to make that decision. He didn't elect you to damnation. You elect yourself to damnation.
Right.
He provided the atonement that is sufficient for all man's sins, but it's efficacious only to those that believe.
Amen.
And the trust and the faith and the faith comes from God also. Will you surrender your will to Him? That's where you. That's when you indelibly